welcome to the Ship Energy Podcast. It's Mark Williams, broadcasting to you from Cambridgeshire in the UK. Well, London International Shipping Week is over, and we're all going to take a few days to recover, I think, from that. And you can read my thoughts about the conversations I had at London International Shipping Week in my latest article at the ship.energy website. But as for today's podcast, we're going to turn our minds a little bit into the future. COP28 starts in the UAE in November this year, and the Middle East Gulf is a particularly interesting region to hold one of these COP meetings, as it, of course, is the global center of oil and gas production. So my guest today is an expert in the region and comes from a long-standing business in the region. It's Daniel Carby, and he is the CEO of Sea Horizon Offshore Marine Services, and he's based in Dubai. Daniel comes from a shipping family. He's maintained the family tradition, not only in taking on the CEO position at Sea Horizon, but he's also a board member of Young Ship UAE and a Sea Trade Maritime Club ambassador for Qatar. Daniel comes with a bachelor's degree in economics from the University of York in the UK and has also studied business at Ryerson University in Toronto in Canada. Sea Horizon has been working in the offshore oil and gas industry in the Gulf region for half a century. It's headquartered in Qatar and Dubai and has offices across the region. It operates a fleet of offshore supply vessels, jack-up accommodation barges, as well as offering agency, chartering and towage services, among other things. So it's great to have Daniel on the show to give us some local flavour and expertise. So Daniel, welcome to the show. Great to have you on.
Thank you for having me, Mark. It's a great pleasure to be here and discuss all what we have going on at Sea Horizon and in the state of Qatar.
Great stuff. Thank you. And for those listeners who don't know you or Sea Horizon, perhaps we could just take a moment to introduce you and the company.
So Sea Horizon Offshore Marine Services is a Qatar-based oil and gas support provider. You know, we're vessel owners, managers, and operators for the offshore sector, providing rig move services and support in the North Field expansion along with Al Shaheen Field. We are currently building vessels for the North Field expansion project that will be hopefully delivered by the second quarter of 2026. But along with OSB providers, we are also partners for our international clients, whether they're based in Europe or America, as we believe there is sometimes a misconception to foreigners about entering the Qatar market. So we would provide a handheld approach into entering and participating in the projects within Qatar Energy, Qatar Gas, and North Oil Company, which is the energy landscape, which actually, I have to correct myself, because as of yesterday, Qatar Gas has changed their name to Qatar Energy LNG. So it's not Qatar Gas.
So I wonder what prompted the change.
Well, as you know, they changed it from Qatar Petroleum to Qatar Energy just to show a cleaner outlook. You know, gas is considered cleaner. So they, with the slogan of Qatar Energy, your energy transition partner, along with these things, it's very important. And given the fact that Qatar Gas is the company that actually manages the North Field expansion, so all of NFE is managed by Qatar Gas, it made sense to change it to Qatar Energy LNG.
Yeah, to express that range of energies rather than just one, yeah. So this new North Field expansion, you have some, I understand, some offshore vessels on order for that.
So yes, we currently, we just finished the tender, closed it. We are excited about it and anticipating. We're expecting 7 of 15 vessels, where we've already been in discussion with the European shipyard in Holland. We will soon announce officially our partnership with them. But we have started building some fast intervention vessels for the crew transfers and supply transfers for the North Field expansion. So this project should be kicking off January, first quarter of next year. And delivery time is all the way until 2031. So the delivery schedule, 26, 27, 28, 29, 23, 2031, which is great because what Qatar is doing for the North Field expansion, the maritime hub, is they're extending the localization into Qatar, right? So there's a big demand for Qatar flagged and Qatar owned vessels. So that's where us being one of four companies in Qatar that can provide that localization factor That's how we also just support our clients that want to enter Qatar as well.
The vessels you have on order, you mentioned the change of name to Qatar Energy LNG in this case. So there's this new emphasis on decarbonization and on the energy transition, which of course is going to be picked up by COP28 being hosted in the region in a couple of months' time. So has any of that been reflected in the specifications that were put in the request for proposals? Have you got sort of low carbon fueling on the vessel?
Sadly, I would like to say, I'd love to say yes, because we explored it. We're not being encouraged, frankly speaking, which is kind of interesting to me because, it's a 15-year-long contract. And when you're building a vessel for the future, you have to build for the future. We have explored many options when it comes to alternative fuels, when it comes to maybe diesel electric. But the issue we're facing, and I've been very vocal about this in our specific field, is we're very cost-driven. So charters, I spoke at the London International Shipping Week and we spoke about ESG strategies. I said we would love to expand our ESG strategy and do all these incredible things, but until the charters demand it, a lot of companies aren't going to go towards that, right? So for us, it's when we saw this tender, for this specific tender, they're not asking for it, but we are seeing in Qatar a lot of companies start the decarbonization and the push for more fuel efficiency. For example, North Oil Company demands that you give a greenhouse gas emissions plan in every tender you submit, and how you're going to emphasize and expand on that greenhouse gas emissions plan during the tenor of the contract, which is great, because then if your plan gets approved, you get rewarded with a longer term contract, so the investment is worth it, right? But obviously, the UAE is doing a great job with COP28, and the entire COP28 team has been really pushing the events that are coming up in November and December. So we're excited. So as a region as a whole, I do see a very good emphasis on decarbonization. Are we there? We're getting there. We should be there hopefully soon. Maybe not in the next couple of years, in my opinion, but I do think that we have ways to go as well.
Given the region is the global hub for oil and gas production, how seriously would you say that the decarbonization agenda, how seriously is it being adopted in the region? Because it's not turkeys voting for Christmas, is it?
No, it's not. And that's what it is. Like I said, with the UAE's major push in COP28, then we also have Qatar's and Saudi's 2030 vision for sustainability. I'm actually attending tomorrow a sustainability of transportation conference in Qatar tomorrow morning, and hosted by the Ministry of Transport. So there is a push towards that. Obviously, even if we look at Qatar's incentive of more towards gas and LNG production, that's one step towards, it is a transition. And that's why we're very vocal about how Qatar is the energy transition partner. So in the Middle East, and like I said, with Saudi's big 2030 vision, and Qatar, and even the UAE, I think they're very aligned to meet that 2030 goal.
But of course, if you've got, for your tender vessels with a 15-year contract, then nobody's thinking about switching off the oil and gas for at least 15 years.
Yeah, exactly. For the next 15 years, the North Field expansion itself is a giant. I think, what did we calculate? 32 drilling years for the North Field expansion. I mean, they anticipate that when the expansion's completed, 40% of the world's LNG will be supplied by Qatar. So It's a massive project, and it's a great thing to distract us right after the World Cup. We were excited for 10 years for the World Cup to come, and now the next thing is the North Field expansion for us.
Are there plans in Qatar or elsewhere in the region to expand into other fuels? You've got huge solar power potential in the region. great renewable power potential, so that could be put to use for creating hydrogen-based fuels, for instance, or you know, you could crack the LNG to synthesize methanol or whatever. You know, are there any plans for other fuels in the region that you know of?
In the region, I haven't. We're exploring. I'll say that there's definitely exploring. Obviously, hydrogen is the most simple way, in my opinion, for the alternative fuels. You know, we are trying to see. We're not seeing offshore vessels coming in with alternative fuels. It's because infrastructure is not there for us. It's when you go port to port, it's very easy. Because there's infrastructure, but for the vessel being offshore majority of the time, to get a hydrogen bunker barge is not simple. I do know something that's very interesting that Qatar Ports Authority will be bringing out a tender for battery powered tugs for the harbor, which is a very it's a step in the right direction. Because for the harbor, it makes sense to do it because you have the charging stations on shore, everything. But as of right now, we're seeing it being spoken about. We're seeing the direction it be there, but we're not seeing the action, frankly speaking. It's, like I said, we have multiple tenders right now that we're bidding for in our specific sector. That they are long term, but they don't ask for dual fuel or any specific type of fuel. But I do say that, but I do also know that Qatar Energy is working on a solar power company to expand that here. And that's been in discussion for the past 3 years publicly.
There's huge potential in the region as well as Qatar being, you know, the leading gas supplier. Two things to mention: huge solar potential, huge renewables potential, and being a marine fuels center as well in the region. You have Fujairah and other marine fuels ports in the region. That, you know, it's a hub which can extend beyond the energy transition with a little imagination, I suppose.
Yeah, it's absolutely. It's. I mean, Fujairah might not be for the full fuel transition, but I do think it does start with Qatar and Saudi Arabia, along with obviously the UAE hosting COP28. I think COP28 is a very big step with the Middle East, right? It is an initiative, and it's something that leads by example, and also Vision 2030 of Saudi and Vision 2030 of Qatar, both simultaneously holding that event as well.
So do you think COP28 is going to be about raising consciousness and raising awareness in the region?
It should be, and it will be. I think, you know, I've attended many of the COP28 roundtable discussions where we've spoken about what's needed, and it's really nice to see the UAE ministry approach companies, ship owners from not just the UAE, from all the Middle East and people in the marine sector to gather their advice and recommendations for what we want to hear. And that's what we've said. We've said we have no problem and we want to go through this energy transition. But the thing is, we need to be incentivized. We're in a very cost-based business. So for us, it's that extra cost is eating at our margins, which it becomes sometimes grueling, because especially for us, it's the biggest thing is if we spend that extra cost, but our competitor will not do anything about ESG or greenhouse gas emissions, and they might win the contract. And so it's you know, we have to be leveling the play field, right?
Yeah, sure. And that's where the market-based regulations come in, isn't it, to level the playing field. And you face the same challenge as operators in other sectors as well, that there's no first mover advantage. So interesting also, I suppose, though, that, you know, with Qatargas being the leading LNG supplier and soon to be 40% of global gas supply, do you think they'd have a little bit left over for LNG engines for vessels that are contracted to supply them with services?
I do think that is actually coming. You would think that is the next step, especially with the new name Qatar Energy LNG. I don't, but not yet, but I do think in the next year and a half or so to be creating the first LNG infrastructure for as a fuel, I think is, you think about as the next step for sure.
Well, that may be an interesting project to get involved with, I'm sure. So.
Absolutely. I think it's great because, you know, they have explored to create the infrastructure offshore for LNG bunkering. You know, one of the projects that we were very passionate about is the Hiramar Schleppner is the giant LNG barge, the LNG fueled barge from Hiramar. And she came to Qatar for a project at Al Shaheen Field. And we were very passionate about finding a way to bunker her with LNG over here. But she was too big to fit in the field and in the port.
It is a vast vessel. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Well, there's plenty of potential and lots to be getting on with. And it sounds like, you know, we were at the bottom of the S curve in the region and there's huge opportunities in the energy transition. And as you say, it's about making it commercially viable and then people will make the moves, make the investments. I got the sense when I was at London International Shipping Week that a backlash is brewing, that people are starting to feel like, well, we're doing as much as we can, but it's up to the regulators to make it worth our while now. You know, we need the fuels to be available. We need the infrastructure to be available. There's no point building a ship that runs on fairy cakes and spaghetti bolognese if the fairy cakes and spaghetti bolognese infrastructure isn't there. So did you get a similar sense at London International Shipping Week? What was your, what have you come away with?
Yes, I was one of them. I was definitely one of them. In our panel discussion, along with some colleagues, we were very passionate about, yes, we can, we need the regulator's support. We need regulation to thread the needle quicker. Right. I think we're now at a stage where it's a very hot topic. It's a constant topic that we talk about in conferences, in agendas. But now it's time to actually just, you know, work together towards it. I think there's a lot of work that has been done. So that's not the discount. But like I said, it was nice to actually see it because most conferences, most exhibitions, and most shipping weeks that we attend, this is a topic. But this one, it was a topic, but it was people actually talking about, okay, we can speak about it, but we need A, B, C, D, which I think is a step in the right direction to make things where we need to be quicker and sooner.
I think one of the issues in places like Western Europe or the US is that the energy transition goes over a much longer time horizon than the electoral cycle. So the politicians don't want to take long-term decisions in case they just get overturned by the next guy to come in.
Absolutely. Yeah. That's why it's actually easier in the Middle East, because politicians don't change often, right? It's the same family for centuries and they relatively have the same vision.
So yeah, there may be advantages from the political system in getting the politicians on side. So we'll look out for that at COP28. You know, it'd be interesting to hear if there's any announcements that come out of that.
Of course. Will you be attending COP28?
Fingers crossed, I will be there. We'd be very excited to do a ship.energy podcast from the region.
No, that would be very good. I think it's going to be an exciting time in the region.
We have the European Union's emission trading system kicking off for shipping from January next year. And there's increasing talk about a carbon tax being applied globally, not just to shipping, but to everything, you know. And so if you're an onshore industry or an oil refinery or gas production, do you think an idea for a level playing field through global carbon taxation is an idea that might gain traction in the region?
Of course. I think if that happens, and you know, like I said, anything that's making us do, pushing us towards doing it and encouraging us, I say incentive, but that's me being selfish because we like being incentivized. But if we're regulated as well, we're going to do it, right? We see many ambitious approaches towards decarbonization. But I think the most important part is it has to be industry-wide, and in this case, globally. It can't just be one company. It can't be one region. We have to do it all together, and we have to work towards it, which I think what I saw at London Shipping Week is it's people are starting to understand that.
Yeah, yeah, I would agree with that. I think that that concept is starting to generate some interest, especially if any money raised through carbon taxation is then used in like a contract for difference, or, you know, it's used to subsidize the low carbon fuels production and infrastructure building. It's got to be one of those where if you build it, they will come.
Yeah, and that's what it is. It's if you build it, they will come. If you do A, B, C, D, and E will follow. And that's really what I think we need. It's where the marine industry is a very incentivized and regulated industry, where when we see regulations, we go right away to follow them, because we don't want our vessel to not be unhired. For one day, it's a heavy cost. So that's why I think companies will do more if that happens, which we will see. I think we'll get there soon. I think in the later years, especially after COP28, especially after the expansion now with Qatar Energy, LNG, I do see a lot of opportunities coming.
Well, we look forward to hearing more about them. You've been involved in the COP28 preparations, as you mentioned. So if anybody wants to find out more from you, is there a website they can go to or a contact they can find you on?
Obviously on LinkedIn, you can put my our website and our email, of course, how you present this. Yeah, I'm more than happy to have conversations regarding the activities going on in the Middle East, whether it's in oil and gas or marine. I think it's an exciting time, of course, and you know, for us, we are very big promoters of the Middle East and the region, because we do see with a lot of projects and a lot of expansion happening.
Well, we look forward to hearing more, and I hope I get to see you in November for COP28. But for now, thanks very much for taking the time to come on the Ship Energy Podcast. Really appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having me, and I do look forward to seeing you in November. And of course, maybe we'll come fly down to Qatar for a weekend too.
Sounds ideal. Look forward to it. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Okay. And to everybody out there in listener land, thanks for tuning in to another Ship.Energy podcast. And we'll see you for the next one in a fortnight's time. Bye for now.